one of the things that sometimes churches like to argue about is something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When do you get the baptism? How many times do you get the baptism? Well, Billy just simply states there's one baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it comes at your moment of salvation. That's the kairos moment. That's that aha moment when you suddenly wake up and say, aha, I get it, I understand it. There is a Christ, and Jesus is his name. And I know that I know that I know, and if you didn't know before, you might by the end of the night here, know that you need a Savior. We need somebody to come into our life and to save us from our natural lives of sin and lead us into eternal life and a new life led by the Holy Spirit. He goes on to state this, so this will help some of you. We believe in one baptism of the Holy Spirit, but many fillings, okay? You see the difference there is the baptism is the Holy Spirit really coming into your life. Without the Holy Spirit, you could not be convicted of sin. You could not put your faith and trust in Christ. So if you've already believed in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is already at work in your life, and you have received that baptism. But I kind of liken it to your fuel gauges. Maybe some of you should check it on your way out tonight, is where exactly is your fuel gauge? And the Holy Spirit filling inside of us is kind of, it fluctuates as does our fuel gauges and our fuel tanks on our vehicles. And sometimes we're running on low. And you know how you get that little, either a ding or a little low light level coming on? The same way can happen to us with the Holy Spirit. We still have the Holy Spirit in our lives, and yet sometimes we just feel like we're running on empty. We're needing that power. We're needing that passion. We're needing that desire. Sometimes you look around at other people and go, man, they've got something I don't have. What is it? I'm telling you right now, it's that your low light level is on for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so you need to call out to him. You need to pray. You need to read. You need to study. You need to talk to other people and invite that Holy Spirit into your life so that you can be filled as well. And you can come to enjoy the things that God enjoys. In fact, I always love it when I tell people that heaven is going to be one great church service. And everybody goes, oh. Are you sure that's not hell? No. No, we're sure. But how can I learn? Man, I told you I was... do you know this is now... I'm finishing my second year here. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Getting ready next week, we launch into a third year here. But I've told you as I came here that I want to see this place alive. I want to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. I want people jumping up and down and saying, I love my church, and saying, it's Saturday night, woohoo! It's Sunday morning, woohoo! We get to go to church. We get to get here with the people of God. We get to sing the praises. And maybe some of you saw Ashley up here and just kind of pouring her heart out before everybody. And just as David did, dancing before the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's sometimes people feel like, well, maybe that's put on. I'm telling you, it's not put on. That is something that is inside of her. And when she found out we were going to do the Saturday night service, she said, sign me up. I want to be a part of it. And she loves doing it. That's the Spirit coming together and leading us and guiding us. So maybe for some of us, we need to check that Spirit fuel gauge, if you will. Maybe that low light is on, and we want that filling of the Holy Spirit. So for our passage this evening, we are going to go into Galatians. It's Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, and we are going to be looking at chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. Now, I always encourage you, if you get the sermon enhancers during the week, to go ahead and not only read the passage that we're doing, But read the surrounding context. Context is key. Context is everything. And if you even go back a chapter, then you hear Paul talking about freedom that's in Christ. But we are also to let go of that old way of life and to live in the new way of life that comes through Jesus Christ. And don't miss this part, the power of His Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. If you know Romans, why do I do the things that I don't want to do, and the very things I want to do, I don't do? He says, because the natures, these two natures, are in conflict with each other. In verse 18, he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. He's writing here to a group who are called the Judaizers, and the people who are trying to hang on to this new way of Christianity, but yet they're trying to hold on to the old Jewish faith as well, and particularly in the area of circumcision. And Paul says, you're of no use to God if you get circumcised, because you are now under law. And because of Jesus Christ, you are freed from the law. It is no longer by law that you are saved, but it is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. All right? So he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sometimes they're more obvious to some than others. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, so let's take a look at some of our outline. If you have the outline, you'd like to fill in the blanks, draw pretty pictures, whatever's good for you, that'll help you be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The first one is that true Christianity requires change. Everybody say change. I know, that's not your gift, is it? And most of us, we don't like change. Was it the old Nancy Sinatra song, "These Boots Are Made for Walking"? You keep on saming when you ought to be changing. And sometimes as Christians, we keep saming when we ought to be changing. And sometimes people are wondering, am I really saved? And one of the ways you can tell is by holding the scripture up to your life and saying, from that point of my salvation, from that point of my justification, am I any different now than I was before? And be honest with yourselves. And some people can say, yeah, I'm not as good as I'm going to be, but I'm not as bad as I once was. That means you're like everybody else, and you are on the journey. If you look at your life today as opposed to that day of your salvation, and nothing's different, nothing's changed, you say, wow, my low light is on, and I really need to call upon the power of the Holy Spirit, because I know there are things inside of me that are not good, that are not Christ-like, that are not godly, and is keeping me from living the full life, the abundant life in Jesus Christ. How many of you are old like me? I don't even know if he's still working. Yes, thank you, Mike. I knew I could count on at least one hand. And remember, there was a connection there. And remember, Stephen Curtis Chapman. Any Stephen Curtis? All right, a number of you. All right, well, one of the songs we used to have sing years ago was What About the Change? He writes, Well, I got myself a t-shirt that says what I believe. I got letters on my bracelet to serve as my ID. I got the necklace and the keychain and almost every good thing a Christian needs. I got the Bible magnets on my refrigerator door and a welcome mat to bless you before you walk across my floor. I got a Jesus bumper sticker and the outline of a fish stuck on my car. And even though this stuff's all well and good, I cannot help but ask myself, what about the change? What about the difference? What about grace? What about forgiveness? What about a life that's showing I'm undergoing a change? One of the ways we can tell, well, our husbands and wives can be very helpful in this area. They're only too happy to let you know if you're making any kind of a change or not. If not, come see me. I'll let you know. All right. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Come on, people. But we got to ask ourselves, are we really serious about this faith in Christ? Are we really serious about eternal life? Or are we just playing the game and hedging our bets that says, well, in case I die, I don't want to go to the other place, so I'm going to say the magic words. And I'm telling you, Jesus is telling us it's more than hedging your bets. It's more than not wanting to go to hell. It's about having our eyes open, or in the case of the Apostle Paul, the scales fell off that he could finally see clearly. Many of you who have had cataracts and had cataract surgeries, like, I had no idea how much I wasn't seeing until my eyes were clear. And the same thing for those who are truly in Christ is, wow, I see things from a whole new difference, and I act differently than I did as once before. Maybe you're also like me, and don't you hate it when you get convicted by the scriptures? I'll tell you, I'm just going to confess this week. I had been quite angry earlier this week, and I was trying to figure out what to do about it and how to respond and all that kind of stuff. And then in the meantime, I had to get going on the sermon. And so then I opened up the scripture, and as my mind was racing, trying to figure it all out and set it aside, then I read these words, "Be led by the Spirit. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Hatred, discord, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions." Oh, man. I tell you, you guys have it easy. Because when you're a pastor and you got to get up that week and preach about what you've been doing the week before. That's convicting. And yet at the same time, knowing that God was right, and it helped me make up my mind what I was going to do, because it took the starch right out, took the steam right out and said, okay, God, not my way, but your way, your will be done. And maybe I'm just preaching to me this week. Maybe I'm the only one that needed to hear these words. And if so, then God be praised for that. But I'm guessing there's somebody else out there. If you read the scripture slow enough, you give God a chance. You give the Holy Spirit a chance to say, hey, bucko, this is you. You're in here. And God loves you so much. He wants you to be different. And he wants you to go through the change. How are you doing? Is your spiritual low-level light on? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you had any evidence of change since your salvation? Number two is, life in the Spirit means letting go. That's another thing we're not good at. It's just letting things go. And there are some unhealthy things, and we're going to read the full section here, but there's some unhealthy things that each one of us struggles with because we're normal. We're average people. And so we experience the same things as everybody else because we have inside of us something that's called a sin gene. I think I made that up. Maybe you'll find it somewhere smart. I don't know. But it's just, you know, as we talk more about DNA, and sometimes, you know, whether your hair is curly or straight or black or blonde or gone, you know, a lot of that has to do with your DNA. Sometimes it's your hairdresser. Come on, people, that's funny. You got to work with me here, okay? All right. But the fact is, we have this DNA that's inside of us that sometimes is what's driving us to be the kind of people that we are. And God is saying, you don't have to succumb to your average, normal nature. You can be different. You can have life, and you can have it abundantly through Jesus Christ. But you've got to let go of some of these things. And here's what he writes. You've got to let go of sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry. And sometimes, you know what the worst idolatry is? Because most people think, I don't have this, you know, a stone statue or anything in my room. But sometimes the worst idolatry is the one you look at in the mirror. Because that sin gene says, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I know what God says. I know what the Bible says, but nobody follows it all perfectly. So I might as well do what I want to do. Well, guess what? That's a form of idolatry because you're saying, no, thank you, God. I see your way. I see what you've written here. We all know that's not realistic. We all know that that's too hard. But listen, Paul puts teeth in this passage. He puts a warning in. And he says, those who live like this will not, regardless of what you've said, will not inherit the kingdom. In other words, it's not just what you say, but it's what you do. How are you doing? Are you living the life that shows you're undergoing a change? Are you willing to let go of some of these things? They may not all apply to you, but I'm guessing somewhere in this list, and this is not an exhaustive list, but he's giving you the idea. And I believe that even with the Holy Spirit being allowed to come into your life, that you will be clarified that there's something else that I'm hanging on to that God knows is not good and he wants me to let go of. Where do you need the Holy Spirit to work for change in your life? And what behaviors do you need to let go of? Number three is the life in the Spirit means being fruitful. Those who think all they need is a magic potion or an incantation that just says, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior. He died on the cross for my sins, and so I'm going to live with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It doesn't matter what you say. Are those words important? Absolutely. And I'm not mocking nor making fun of them. But I'm asking, were they just empty words that you were counting on for your salvation? Or when you said those things, was it really the Holy Spirit working inside of your life and saying, you've got to do something with your life? It's not okay to just live your life and do the things that you want to do and have good education, good jobs, and good health care, live like the rest of the world, and believe at the end of it all, you're going to be with Heavenly Father, that you're going to be with Christ. All this passage, all this context, the Apostle Paul is saying, we have to change now. We have to get our lives right now. This is our training ground, and it's not just what we say, but it's also what we do. For those of you who think it says, well, it just says in my Bible that all you have to say is you believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Well, that's where context comes in, because you have to put all the pieces of the puzzle together that's all here working with Scripture. And I invite you to look up John chapter 15. Some of you know that one as the vine and the branches. And Jesus is saying, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches. And my Father is the master gardener. We have any gardeners out there? Okay. Well, I'm not a gardener, but I do own a set of clippers, and I love to use them. Because if you get one that's going wayward, I'm out there just, can I get a witness? Can I get a testify? Yeah, she, yeah, okay. I would just, you know, I want a holster for mine, you know, so I, you know, and cut that thing off and make that bush look right and straight and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus, listen to what Jesus says. I am the vine, and you are the branches. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in me as I remain in you. But for those who are spiritually dead, my Father will prune. He will cut off from the vine. Wow. Passage isn't just about love and Jesus and all that kind of stuff. Man, this is tough stuff. It's hard. How do we do this? How do we remain in Jesus? How do we do what he wants us to do? How do we bear fruit? And Jesus will say, easy, obey my commands. And you go back to Paul and says, I'd love to, except for why do I do the things that I don't want to do and the very things that I want to do I don't do? Who's going to save me from this body of mine? Well, sometimes we try to make these changes on our own. How many of you have been on a diet before? Oh, man, yeah. He's quit preaching and gone right to straight to stepping on toes now. But, you know, it just seems like sometimes we just don't have the willpower to change the thing that seems to be right in our own very DNA. It's too hard. And Scripture says, for man, it is impossible. I like the story of this father who obviously did not go shopping with his 2-year-old son very often, but as this lady was watching this father with this little handsy 2-year-old who was all over, can I get a witness? Can I get a testify? He's not even 2 yet, and he's everywhere. God bless Gabriel and mommy and daddy and all that kind of stuff. But so this lady was watching this young father, and as he was slowly pushing the cart and getting the things that he needed to get and putting the things back that he didn't need to have because the hands were grabbing everything, he's saying, be patient, Billy. Billy, 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 be patient. Be patient, Billy. Billy, be patient. And the woman was so impressed with him, she went over and she said, you know what? You are being so patient with Billy. I just had to come over and tell you. He said, what? Huh? No, that's Kevin. I'm Billy. Having to talk himself into being patient. And what's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Patience. Don't you hate it? Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Probably my least favorite. Self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. These are not things that we can change on our own. These are not things that we can get on our own. These are not things that we can do on our own. But these are the things that the Holy Spirit living inside of us can naturally change, or should I say supernaturally change, when we've tried our very best and we still fail. We call out to the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you this evening, as we've gone through this passage, and sometimes I think of the Scripture as being a mirror. And each time I look into it, I have to look into my own eyes, into my very own soul. And I want you to ask that question this evening is, how am I doing? How am I since my salvation point? If you have not had that salvation point, I would love to pray with you. Maybe there's something that's burning and bubbling inside of you and said, I don't even know why, but I have to do this. See me. I would love to pray with you to receive salvation. But many times when we're preaching in church, we're preaching to the choir. We're preaching to the people who are already saved. And yet maybe they have become complacent in their lives. Maybe they know what they're supposed to be like, but it's just too hard. They've tried before. It's just not for them. Well, God is saying, what about the change? What about the difference? What about the things you need to let go of? If you don't know them, Paul gave us a list right here. And maybe God is saying, through the power of the Holy Spirit, this one's got your name on it. This is the one I need to let go of. And then what are we embracing? I think of this as kind of being aligned with spiritual warfare. For it says that if one demon is excised out of us, if we're not careful, if we don't fill our souls with good things, then he'll go out and find seven more friends and come on back in. If you're letting go of something, that's wonderful, but you've also got to fill yourself back up so you don't get that thing back. And to say, God, I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. I don't want to play games. I don't want to just sign on a dotted line somewhere. I really want to be with you. I want to be like Jesus Christ. I want to have that passion, that fire that's burning inside of some of the others. Lord, I want that burning inside of me. I confess my sins before you. Lord, help me to see and to step away, to repent from these things. And then, Lord, for the good things, fruits of the Spirit, may we have a passion and desire for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I pray that as we prepare to close tonight, that these are the things that would become a part of your prayer life. How are you doing? How's your spirit level doing? Is it on low or are you filled up to the top? Are you looking for more of the power of the Holy Spirit? Because I believe through the power of prayer and worship and scripture and fellowship, we can turn those flickers into flames as we surrender our lives and be filled with the firepower to live adventurous, exciting lives, bearing fruit in Jesus Christ. Amen.